Gospel reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and on page 1014, I think, in the church Bibles, beginning at verse 17. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." Jesus looked at him and loved him. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus said, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Then Peter spoke up, "We have left everything to follow you." "Truly, I tell you," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or friends or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in his present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Today we're going to listen to that story of the man that we call by tradition the rich young ruler. But he's also, as we see, the man who wanted a selfie.
Right. Can all of the kids come up front? I'd like any of the Galaxy's kids to come join me up front. I have a few questions for you and some pictures to show you. So come on down. Yeah, come on. All right, kids, I have a few questions. So, my first question is, what is a selfie? You can tell me what is a selfie. Sybil?
It's a photo.
It's a photo, but what kind of photo? Who knows what kind of photo it is? Julian?
It's a photo of yourself.
Okay, it's a photo of yourself. Oftentimes it's a photo that you take yourself, right? Like this? You take a photo, it's a selfie. Sometimes it's other people who can take it. So I have a question for the congregation. How many of you have taken a selfie? I think pretty much everybody has taken a selfie. All generations have taken a selfie. Okay, how many of us have taken a selfie with somebody famous, like a celebrity, an actor, a sports, an athlete,
politician.
Yeah, okay.
Royalty.
Royalty, we might have royalty. Okay, so some of the kids have taken selfies with somebody famous too. All right, so Terry and I asked the parents if anybody had some selfies with celebrities. So we have a few pictures to show you. Okay, everybody turn around and look at the screen and see what pictures we have. We're just gonna look through some of these pictures. Go, Pamela, we'll flip through them. And see if you recognize somebody in that photo, right? I see baby Sybil there. I see Elvin and Nolan. Oh, I think we have an athlete here from the Olympics. Who recognizes that guy? Yeah, the kids might not recognize these, but maybe some of you do. Oh, who are those people? Oh, and those are definitely famous people. All right, thank you, Pamela. So kids, did you recognize any, I mean, apart from the people you know who are here in church today, did you recognize any of the famous people?
My dad is.
Dad? Your dad is famous.
Your mom.
Yeah, our families. I mean, that's the thing, we have the selfies of them, but they're with people. You know, I'll tell you a secret, I didn't recognize all the famous people either. I had to ask who they were. But did you recognize some of the famous people? Sybil?
My mom.
Your mom. Your dad and your mom. I saw a couple of royalty in there. Did anybody notice who the royalty were?
The Queen of England.
The Queen of England. Do you think it was really the Queen of England? Maybe, maybe not. Okay, so I have a question for you now after we saw all of these pictures. Who would you love to take a selfie with? Who would be your dream selfie? A famous person that you could take a picture with and have to keep the picture forever. Who would you like to take a picture with, Sybil?
Another Sybil.
Another Sybil, somebody called Sybil? How about you, Julian? Who would you take a picture with? Who's famous?
LeBron James.
LeBron James, oh. Any other famous people you'd like to take a picture with? No? Anybody? Take on the famous somebody?
Noah.
Yeah.
Noah?
Charles III. Wow, that would be an amazing selfie. Right, straight to the top. All right, well that's a question for everybody in the room as well. Who would you like to take a selfie with? What famous person would you have a selfie with if you could choose?
Yeah. Do you want them to ask each other?
Okay, ask your neighbor. Find out from your neighbor who they would like to take a selfie with, okay? And kids, you can go back to your seats.
So what names have we got out there? Who's gonna tell us any of their celebrities they want to be filmed a selfie with?
Monty Don.
It was Alan Tishmarsh, but now he's gone. It's the new man. Any more? Right at the back there, Jeff. The man who wanted a selfie with Jesus. People have talked about him as the rich young ruler. Matthew in his gospel tells us he was young, Luke that he was a ruler, and Mark that he was rich. Of course, the man never had a mobile or took a selfie, but his behavior might be likened to a man that is looking good, but has a longing in his heart for something more. Now, taking a picture of himself with his celebrity is not a bad idea. This is his story. The man is looking for something. In the first picture of this man in Mark, he is running. As he started on his way, the man ran to Jesus. In the second picture, he's on his knees. He really hopes that he will find what he's looking for with Jesus. And in the third picture of Mark, in Mark's gospel, the man asks a question, which is really a prayer. He says, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He's looking for eternal life, it appears, and believes Jesus as the answer. He runs to Jesus, down on his knees before him. Why Jesus? You don't know. But clearly, he's seen goodness in Jesus. He's the good teacher. And now he's famous for doing good things. Perhaps the young man hopes to find in Jesus more goodness, or reflected goodness from Jesus, as it were, or enough goodness to give him eternal life. But the man might not know. Perhaps he just wanted a selfie. At the time, of course, Jesus was the greatest celebrity around. And the man saw him and ran with his metaphorical mobile, looking for something more. The man appears to have everything. He was rich, he was young, he was a ruler. He was good. Keeps the commandments. But nobody has everything, as those with everything discover when they get everything. Nobody has everything. And the young man appears to have so much. But it was not enough. And the man runs to Jesus. He wants his selfie with Jesus. He wants to be with Jesus. But the man got much more than a wonderful photograph, more than he hoped to find if only he knew who he was standing next to, if only he knew who he was having a selfie with. Jesus asked the man, or the man asked Jesus, "What must I do?" Jesus told him what to do. Jesus was clear. One thing, Jesus looked at him. We're told in verse 9, is it? Jesus loved him and said to him, "One thing you lack, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." We sing the song, "Will You Come and Follow Me?"
Would everybody please stand?
Will you come and follow me if I would go don't know will never be the same. Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Will you leave yourself behind if I would call your name? Will you care for cruel and kind and never be the same? Will you risk the hostile stare? Should your life attract or scare? Will you let me answer prayer in you and you in me? Will you let the blinded see if I but call your name? Will you set the prisoner free and never be the same? Will you kiss the leper clean and do such as this unseen and admit to what I mean in you and you in me? You, you hide, but if I call your name, will you quell the fear inside and never be the same? Will you use the faith you found to reshape the world around through my sight and touch and sound in you and you in me? Lord, your summons echoes true when you but call my name. Let me turn and follow you and you will be the same. In your company I'll go, where your love and footsteps show. Thus I'll move and live and grow with you and you in me.
Having me, I do hope you're having a lovely jubilee.
Tea?
Oh, yes, please. Like a marmalade sandwich. I always keep one for emergencies.
So do I. I keep mine in here.
Oh.
For later.
The party is about to start, Your Majesty.
Happy Jubilee, ma'am. And thank you for everything.
That's very kind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
was the celebrity in the selfie video? Exactly. The Queen or Paddington Bear? Well, of course it must be the Queen. Yet in a funny way, of course, the video made Paddington Bear the star in the selfie, which tells us a lot about our late Queen, who made Paddington Bear her celebrity at her Jubilee. While showing us she loved marmalade and Paddington Bear, we could also see other wonderful things about her in the selfie. So truly in the story of the man who wanted Jesus in his selfie, we see wonderful things about Jesus. The greatest celebrity in the greatest story, the greatest selfie. A picture of God who wants to be in the story of our life. And we see that in Mark 10:21, when we read one line, Jesus, looking at the man, loved him and said to him, Jesus looked at him. Of course, the big thing about a celebrity is that we look at them. We look at him. It's King Charles III, whoever it might be. We look at her. We look at them. We look at the famous. It's what ordinary people do. It's what we do. It's what famous people expect. We look at them. We don't expect them to notice us. They're just there, as it were, as we all look at them. I recently watched a dad taking a selfie of his son in Newcastle. The celebrity was Anthony Gordon. He plays for England, but more particularly, he plays for Newcastle City football team. He's the striker, a star player. Of course, I didn't notice the boy with Anthony Gordon. I noticed Anthony Gordon, or to be precise and exact, I noticed his car, a light, large, beautiful green Bentley. It was magnificent. Yet this metaphorical selfie is a real encounter. Jesus looked to him. He noticed him. More than noticed, he loved him. More than respect, more than giving dignity to the man, Jesus looked at the man who wanted him his selfie with love. Jesus looked at the man with love. It was like the Queen, a little thing, in a sense, looking at Paddington Bear. She, the Queen of England, looking at Paddington Bear. We don't quite know who the celebrity is, do we, at one level? For that moment, she's making him the celebrity. So this is taking a selfie of a famous person when we're all going to look, we're supposed to look at the famous person, but the famous person is looking at us and giving us dignity and worth and value. The Queen loved Paddington Bear. Jesus loved the man. He noticed the man. While we read this story, we might see only an anonymous man. We don't know his name. We always describe him as this rich young ruler. He is perhaps to us like many. Perhaps walking around us, we see them in Paris, you see them in London. Just another anonymous, apparently successful man or woman. They've maybe all been there at one point, that is young, rich and a ruler, a leader of some way. And some, of course, you still are. Yet to say that Jesus loved the man is to say that Jesus knew the man. The man was not anonymous to him, our Creator, our Redeemer. The man loved Jesus. There was emotion in the story on both sides. The man longing for something more when he appears to have everything. And he runs to Jesus, knowing he hasn't got everything, hoping that somehow he'll receive from Jesus something. And of course, he's with the man who can, in a sense, give him all that he longs for. But the pathos of the story is the man doesn't look at Jesus. He just wants to be with Jesus. He wants reflected goodness or something. But he doesn't really see him. But to Jesus, none of us are anonymous. Jesus loved him, but sadly, the man did not see that love. Because the man was not looking at Jesus. He was happy to be with Jesus for a moment, happy to receive some insight, some wisdom, some advice. What else can I do? But he could not do the one thing Jesus asked him. He could not follow him. Why not? Clearly the man had much to lose. As the story tells us, he already had so much. This was a man that had it all. Young, he had energy, he had time, he was rich, he had no material need, he was a ruler, a leader, others followed him. He didn't follow others. He wanted to be the selfie. He was a good man. But in the selfie with Jesus, the celebrity is not Jesus, but the man who wants to be a celebrity, if you like. The man may have not noticed him, but Jesus noticed the man. The man might have hoped Jesus might make him better, or look better, perhaps more popular, famous, or whatever. But Jesus, of course, will do more than that and all of that. The sorrow, the pathos in the heart of the story is that the man was not looking at the very thing, the one that was looking for him and longed for him to know his love. If only the man had stopped looking at himself. What must I do? If he'd only stopped for a moment, stopped looking for himself, and if he looked at Jesus, he would have found all he longed for. People in Paris are like that. They're like that in London. They're like that in Newcastle. But what, for a moment, if you imagine, would the man have seen if he'd looked at Jesus? What would he have seen? Pause. Just stop for a moment. Imagine. Here is a man. Here is Jesus. If he'd have turned and looked at Jesus, face to face, what would he have seen? He would have seen a young man. Jesus was about 30. A description of a young man would be exactly that at that time period. This was a young man looking at a young man. He would be at the same age as Jesus. Of course, he would have seen a rich man. Of course, he would not have looked rich. But as we know, he is and was the richest man in the world. This was a man who was rich, looking at the richest man in the world, bar none, ever. He was looking at Jesus, a young man, a rich man. And what else would he have seen if he looked at Jesus? He would have seen a ruler, wouldn't he? He would have seen a leader. He would have seen a king. Indeed, he would have seen the King of Kings. Here is the rich young ruler looking at the rich young leader. but he wasn't looking at him. He didn't see him. For if he'd have seen him, everything would have changed in the story. But the man, as we know, was blind, as so many are in these passages here. But if he'd have seen Jesus as he really was, more than that, if he'd have seen that this was the man that had laid aside his majesty, as we'll sing later, he put aside his wealth, his position, his riches. He was going to give his life, all of that. And the man couldn't follow him. Of course, Jesus was going to the cross, but the cross was scary. But if the man, of course, would have seen Jesus, the greatest, the most rich celebrity individual, come follow me, he might have followed him. But until we see that in Jesus, we'll find it hard to follow, won't we? Until we get everything, all the things we're looking for wherever we are, we're all looking for everything. But when we get everything, there's still a longing there, as the successful will know. If only we'd seen the wonderful thing in the selfish story is the real celebrity in the story, that is Jesus, seeks to make us something more than we are. He sees potential in us, and goodness and greatness, even glory, for one day we'll be like him in Christ. And so the very thing, the very person that could give him all they'd long for could do it if only he would see him and follow him. Like the Queen who made Paddington Bear a celebrity for a moment, Jesus seeks to give us all that feel insignificant some worth and dignity and blessing and life and more. And all of this is not about what we do, as the man keeps saying, what must I do, what must I do? Jesus' answer is simple. Come, follow me to the cross, for there we will find how much we're worth, how much we're loved, for the rich your ruler, who gave all of that, that we, that are poor, might become rich in Christ as we began the service. The selfish story ends with a profound punchline. As Jesus says in the final line, verse 31, but many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. The punchline reverses the expected outcome. It challenges us, but it encourages us. Whether we feel first or last, will you come and follow me? Amen.